Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording from Wellspring Church in central Watford. You may have found us via our website, wellspring-church.org. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. But even better, why not come to one of our services in one of our congregations? We would love to meet you and encourage you along your journey of faith. With that in mind, do know that we are praying for you, that as you listen to this recording, you'll be inspired, encouraged, challenged, given keys to live life to the full as Jesus intended, and to bring transformation with his amazing love to the people around you. God bless you.
Part of the prophetic, if you like, the timely focus of 2018 is the love of God, looking at the extent of his love, the width of his love, that he loves people who are not like us. The length of his love is what we've been thinking about more recently. In fact, his love goes longer. The Psalms are full of this phrase, his love endures forever. His love goes longer. When we run out of love, his love is still there. You know, so we're just on a journey of our hearts to go beyond what we've known before. And I believe that this series that we're in at the moment is kind of foundational. At least it's laying another layer of bricks on the foundation of what we've known, that we might, in Wellspring Church, live a life of complete submission to God in everything that we do, that actually we wouldn't just talk about following Jesus, but we would actually follow him. And in actually following him, that something would happen in our lives and then around us that would change the atmosphere of our workplaces, of our places of study, wherever we are, because actually we've discovered the power of permission. That's the title for this series, the power of permission. Because we believe, and I believe strongly, that something needs to happen in us on a daily basis to let God be God in our situation. And as we looked at last week, we stood by this door here that's on the platform, and we stood by this door, and last week it had no handle on the outside of the door. We reflected on the fact, as we considered what it means to be under the authority of Christ, we reflected on the fact that it says in Revelation 3:20, Jesus says to the church in Laodicea, "I stand at the door and I knock. And whoever hears my voice and lets me in, I'll come and dine with, I'll come and eat with them." The title for last week's talk was The Takeaway and the, anyone remember? And the Toolbox. That's right. Jesus comes initially with the takeaway, with the food, not to deliver it and go, but actually to come, and he brings us a feast of his grace, and he comes in and eats with us. But he also has with him a toolbox. And this is the idea that he wants to come into our home, and he doesn't judge us. He says, look, let's just have a meal together as friends. But our experience is borne out about the fact that he is able to fix things, restore things, make them like new. He can bring things into level that are not level. He comes with the toolbox. And he doesn't just want to stand at the door. We need to invite him in. This is the power of permission. The handle is on the inside of the door. We have to choose to let him in. When we choose to let him in, we let him in as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who's the boss. And when he's in the boss, he can make himself free in every room. But do you know what? Because his love is not controlling, God is in control, but because he's not controlling, then he waits to be invited into different areas of our lives. We looked at the fact he wants to be in the lounge of our relationships. We need to let him in to be the lounge and oversee what we see, what we watch, the influences that come into our lives. We looked at the idea of the kitchen. Is he the Lord of what we eat and how we eat? Is he the Lord of what we drink and how we drink it and who we drink it with? Is he the Lord of our diet and our exercise and how we are as temples of the Holy Spirit? Does he have a say in that? Or is he still in the entrance porch? Or do we leave him in the lounge? Even more, do we let him into the bathroom, in the place of our nakedness and mirrors? Do we let him say what he wants to say about our body image, about how we feel about ourselves, about how we look at ourselves, about the things that we say about ourselves when we see ourselves in the mirror? Do we let him be the Lord of our physique and everything about us? Or is he not allowed in the bathroom? You know, I said last week, he's seen you naked. Nothing shocks him, all right? And he looks at you and says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, whatever anyone ever says about you. And then, does he have permission to come into the bedroom and the things we do there and who we do them with? Is he the Lord of our sex lives? Is the Lord of what we wear and how we wear it? That's a question, you see. I've realized that this teaching series is a good way of emptying Wellspring Church. I'm going to preach it anyway. I don't want any of you to go, but I'm telling you, this is not the easy stuff. This is when we don't just say we love Jesus, we love him with our actions, with what we choose to do and what we don't choose to do. Amen. And so will he come into the bedroom of our lives? Will we let him into the office of our lives? Anyone has an office or a bureau or a very scruffy desk? That where we decide what we do with our finances, where we decide what jobs we apply for, how we steward what we've got, the bills we pay, the debts we enter into. Is he the Lord of that? Or is he still standing outside? Or worse, is he standing? We tell him he's welcome, but he's not really welcome. And he's standing in the entrance porch of our lives. That was last week's message. That's a recap. I'd encourage you to listen to the podcast because it will help you. And it will challenge you as it challenges me. Building on this message, because that one was really about humility in light of authority. Okay, the God's authority, that's the question. Will we give him permission to have authority in all of our lives? That's last week's question. This week is slightly different. Will we give God permission, if you like, to bless other people? In other words, this is about humility and community. This is about choosing to celebrate when God blesses someone else. Now, I don't know how you are with parties. Anyone love parties? Was anyone at a Eurovision party last night? Put your hand in the air. Oh, come on, don't deny it. You were there. There you were. You were dancing in front of the TV, weren't you? Moving around. Some of us love parties. Some of us really don't. Some of us are like this party pooper. Yeah, humbug. Happy New Year. In reality, some of us really love the party environment and some of us really don't. The interesting thing is, I've noticed this even at funerals. If there's a music playing at a funeral and there are children, they dance. Children cannot help but dance. Children will dance in the supermarket to the music that's being played. They'll dance wherever it is. The louder it is, the more they dance. You see, as children, we have no problem with a party. But something happens as we get older. Frankly, we get more boring. Does anyone say amen to that? It's not just we get more boring, but we become more responsible. And we become like the person in that picture, is that when there's a party going on, we don't always find it easy to celebrate, particularly if the party is for someone else. Hello? Yes. I'm speaking to someone today. You don't mind if the party is your party, but someone else? Now, last bank holiday Monday, so just over a week ago, or is it less than a week ago? No, Monday. This past Monday, we were all planned for a chilled out day. Okay, all pretty clear. We had some plans in the evening, but we were all sitting down. And early in the morning, I had mowed the lawn. And while I was mowing the lawn, our next door neighbor, a little boy called Faisal, he's just 6 years old. In fact, it was his birthday. He's just a great kid. And he goes, Tim, I'm six. And he speaks Farsi as his first language, English as his second. I always like to play around with the language. I know it's cruel, but I do it anyway. I said, you're sick? Oh, no. You need to see a doctor. Because now I'm sixth. I'm so sorry. Listen, tell your mummy, she'll take you to hospital. Anyway, it was funny at the time. So we got a card. We got a card and just put something in it as a gift for him. And we'll take it when we go out later on. We're going to take it around. And as the afternoon went on, we're kind of just trying to chill out and relax. Helen had been ministering away in Slovakia, trying to keep it all calm. And then we can smell that they've got a barbecue going. How many of you know that's the most sweet smell in the universe? So we smell the barbecue is going and you kind of can smell it. And we hear some noise going on, and yet we're still just trying to keep it all calm. And then there is a knock at the door. And the next door neighbor, they come round and they say, hi, we're just having a party. We'd really love for you to join us. Isn't that nice? A lovely family. And so we We're like, well, look, well, maybe we'll come around later. And we kind of, well, we could just sit on the sofa. They've got a party. They've got loads of their family coming around. And so we thought, well, we'll just leave it or whatever. And then maybe 4 or 5 minutes later, there's another knock on the door. And this time they have a tray of the most incredible food you've ever seen. A huge Afghani flatbread, I mean, just that big. And then on it, these skewers, and they must have been about 2 feet long, with fresh beef kebab, lamb kebab, chicken, all with pepper and paprika, all seasoned over the top, steaming hot kebabs. They said, well, basically what they were saying, right, is, look, if you won't come to the party, we'll bring the party to you, right? So they bring this in and we're like, wow, that is so kind. And before we'd even got it into the kitchen, we're like tearing the meat off the skewer. Oh, it was just incredible. Really incredible. We put it in there and we're like, oh my goodness. The kids saw it and they said, you know what? If that's what the food's like, we're going next door. And so sure enough, a couple of minutes later, threw our shoes on and we went round. And there's a picture here of in the back garden of this amazing, we love this family to bits. And we just had the amazing, this is after only maybe an hour and one bottle of whiskey had already gone by that time. He said, the guy in the middle there is not our neighbor, he's one of the cousins. He goes, we are modern Muslim. So they were just going for it. And we sat there in a seat of honor and they kept on bringing us food. In fact, they were saying, all the cousins and aunts and uncles around said, oh, we've heard about you as a family. When you helped, when Faisal, when he was just 2 or 3 years old, had sorts of issues and a husband was away, dad was away, so we took him to hospital and called the ambulance. And she said, oh, all the whole family had heard. We've heard about these neighbors and now we get to meet you. And they kind of spoke in Farsi sometimes and English when they remembered that we were there. And we were just going, but oh, the food was just kept coming. And I was driving later on, so they brought in this glass, just a small glass of wine. Okay, just a small one. It was like a liter in one glass. And it's like, no, I can't drink all of that. They just kept on bringing it, and the music started to play, and the dancing began. It was just amazing. Really incredible to receive the warmth of that celebration. The interesting thing was, it was Faisal's birthday party, and actually the party seemed to have nothing to do with Faisal. He was kind of there and we gave him his gifts, but actually it was really an excuse for the adults to get together. And boy, did we have a great time with them. We talked about everything and life and faith and Morocco and Islam and taxi driving and all the great stuff that we could talk about. It was just amazing. And I'm reflecting on that because we had a decision to make about whether or not to join them in the party. Do you know, it really wouldn't have changed what happened next door. But we would have missed out on so much had we just sat on the sofa. However tired we were, it was a party I'd never wanted to end. You see, we have choices to make. Will we enter in? Will we give permission and actually enter in? That's what today's message is about. And to illustrate this, in fact, this is all not just a story time, okay? From the scriptures, from the teaching of Jesus, he had to correct and bring teaching that was about parties and who you party with. In Luke chapter 15, we've been reading through Luke's gospel, and when we get to chapter 15, we find in the whole of this chapter, we're going to go through the whole thing very quickly, and then we're going to seek to apply this. Luke, as he's writing his gospel account, he assembles and retells the story in such a way as to bring together some very important teachings so that we get it and understand it. And you'll see Jesus tells three parables to illustrate basically the same kind of thing, all right? So that's what we're going to look at. In Luke chapter 15, we're going to see why he tells these stories, and then we're going to develop it. So in chapter 15, verse 1, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus, this is a general comment of Luke saying, look, people did not like the fact that Jesus would party with anyone. He would eat with anyone. He would drink with anyone. In fact, he had a reputation for being very, you know, indiscriminate about the company that he kept. Some people in other places says that he was accused of being a drunkard because he was always at a party. And who he partied with upset the uptight religious leaders. Then Jesus tells these three parables, and they all reinforce his main teaching. And we'll look at it together. Firstly, and you'll have heard these many times, but listen again to what they say to us. Jesus told them this first story. It says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the other one that is lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, let's read this together, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. Let's say rejoice with me. Rejoice with me because I found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy where? In heaven, over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. See, in this story, we get this invitation. Rejoice with me because there is a party in heaven and you and I are invited. Rejoice with me because someone has turned back to God who created them. Then in verse 8, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me because I found my lost coin. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Now we get an even clearer picture. In heaven, it's not just God, it's the angels. In his presence, there is joy. We get this picture because people in every minute are giving their lives to the Lord. The party needs to never end. The party in the presence of God, he's a joyful God celebrating his grace. Day after day after day after day, continuously, there is a party in heaven. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So Jesus says another thing, and he says this to illustrate, verse 11, to illustrate the point further. Jesus told them this story, and this will be familiar to you if you've been to church even more than once. But let's look at it again. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am, dying of hunger. I'll go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now is found. So the party began with the best beef on the estate, right? The party began. The music began. The barbecue was lit. The decorations were out. The balloons were inflated. The party began because the lost son was now found. Meanwhile, the older son, verse 25, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants what was going on. Your brother's back, he was told, and your father has killed a fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. Let me pause there for a moment. The servant is in the party and the son is outside. Yes, the servant has said, we are having a massive celebration. Come on in. Come and join in. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. his father came out and begged him. Imagine that. The father's in the party and he comes out and he begs his eldest son, please. In fact, the language that is used is really, really strong. This is a father already who's undignified because he ran and is, you know, you've heard all that before. But he's begging his son, please come in. Please. Can you hear the voice of heaven saying, please come in, even today? God, your Father, is inviting you into the party of grace. We have a decision to make. Will we celebrate? But the son replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf. And his father said to him, look, dear son, you've always stayed by me and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found. Jesus is making a really important point. Will we celebrate God's grace in other people's lives? Will we do it? Will we celebrate what he does with someone else? Now, we've got the door here, and maybe we can imagine ourselves outside the door. You see, what happens outside the door is really important. We have some decisions to make. And maybe as we draw closer, we can start to hear the music. And yet, we don't hear it clearly, but the invitation is to come on in. And as we do this, then we've got a choice to make. And then we might open the door, and the other side of the door, there is a massive party going on. This is the party of grace. You can clap if you want. This is the party of grace. Just take a picture of this. Now, some of you couldn't see that, so let's just get that picture up on the screen so that we can, that's what you can see what it was like over there, right? Massive party going on, and the invitation is to come on in and join in. I want to give them a rest because they work really hard, don't they? So they can dance for the next 15 minutes. Over here, it's the most joyful, most abandoned party in the universe. Over here, inside the door, is a place where every murderer that repents is welcome. Every rapist is welcome. Donald Trump, who repents, is welcome. You're joking. I'm serious. That every despotic king and queen, every philanderer, every fraud that repents, comes in. And in this party, there is grace. There's grace. There's abundance. There is fullness. Now, the invitation is to come on in. Now, for those listening to the recording, they don't quite know how this works. So somebody should put this on Twitter, right? I'm going to stand here at the door and someone here, take a picture and tweet it. The thing is there. Because otherwise, the people listening to the recording have no idea what we're talking about. I'm talking about the door. Please, someone help me out. Someone, John or someone, put this on. There you go. Thank you. So look, we've got a choice in this door. Which side of the door we're going to go? Then if you're listening to the recording, go on Twitter and you'll see it. You see, this door represents something in our lives, a choice we make in our lives. Will we celebrate what God does in someone else's life? When he answers someone else in his prayer, when he blesses someone else, because you know what? He is going to bless someone else. And the religious leaders and the Pharisees are depicted like the older brother outside the party. I want to tell you, do not live life outside the party. Because what is here is dark and evil and destructive. What is in here, what is this side of the door, is joy and abundance. Let me unpack this for you a bit. You see, this side of the door, think about the older brother with his hands in his pocket and his head down, not coming in. Jealousy reigns outside the door. And yet we've been invited into joy. The choice is jealousy or joy. How do you want to live your life? Envious of what other people have or rejoicing in what they have? It's a choice we make every single day. Are we jealous of how they look, how brilliant their hair is? Or it might be something else. It might be the promotion they get at work. It might be something that happens in someone else's life. Do we stand there with our hands in our pockets, grumpy and miserable because God has blessed them and not blessed me? Jealousy is a powerful thing. It is rife. And I don't think any of us is untouched by this. By the cancer of comparison that eats away at us. The older brother stands there and says, well, do you know what? I can't believe this. How come he gets the beef barbecue? How come he gets the prime beef? And I've never had a party of my name. Jealousy. I want to tell you today is a day when you need to leave jealousy behind. It is possible in a church service, in a time when we sing a song and we pray, it is possible for you to repent and you and I to leave it at the door and go in. Amen. Leave the jealousy behind. Instead, enter into his joy. Come on. I believe there's someone here in our church family, maybe listen to recording. It's this profound. You were at a point in your life where you started to partner up with someone and you messed it up. You missed the opportunity. That other person has gone on to be happily married. And when you think of them, your heart is sick. You don't. But I want to say that you know you're healed when you can celebrate and bless their marriage, even though it could have been yours. It's that deep. And that is prophetically for someone here. That is your precise situation. And your life has been held outside the door because you can't rejoice with what someone else has. Secondly, cynicism or celebration, that's the choice. Will we live in cynicism outside the door, or will we live with celebration inside the party? That's the choice. I realized that this week, you know. I realized that about AOG. I've already shared a bit about that earlier on. I've realized how quickly I fall into cynicism. I could be let down, disappointed, things said. I could be part of the wrong conversation. None of us is immune from that. Hello? None of us is immune from that. And I can find myself getting very cynical. And I had a choice to make on Thursday after these amazing things happen. There's humility. There's all the things we prayed for. It's weird when you get the answer to your prayers, like, what now? And what now, as we stood up from all kneeling together in the presence of God, we had a choice to make. Were we going to stay living in the cynicism? Or was I going to believe, together with my brothers and sisters, to believe that there's a new day for Assemblies of God? Would I celebrate or stay cynical? That's a choice you and I have to make every single day. I want to tell you, if your heart is hard, you are in good company. But this is the place in the house of God to bring that to him and receive his grace. Don't stay cynical, friends. Don't stay cynical towards leaders, towards the church, towards anyone. Do you know, I recognize how this works, okay? Because I realize I disappoint people for a living. That's part of my job. Because you all have expectations of me I just cannot meet. Let alone the people, probably hundreds, maybe even after the years, maybe even thousands of people that have expectations of me that I'll never meet. And I know what it's like to be disappointed with leaders, and this isn't that, and they're not that. In fact, my weaknesses are broadcast for all of you to see. You managed to keep yours to yourself. And I know what it's like to be disappointed and to let cynicism creep in. There's the older brother missing out on the food. He must be hungry. He's been out in the fields, standing outside. What about regret? Outside the door is regret. Inside is rejoicing. Rejoicing this side of the door, not regret. We've all done things. We've all done things, missed out on things. Things have happened to us, and we could live in regret. The older brother is just been thinking about the fact he could have had the goat, let alone the calf. He missed out on all of that. And that regret sometimes can close us down and freeze us on the spot. I want to tell you today, please, friend, brother and sister, do not live with regret. Do not let your regrets from the past hold you back from rejoicing in what God has for you tomorrow. Because you can stand outside the door for years, for decades, living with regret. Oh, I wish I'd done this. Oh, I wish I'd done this. And it can freeze us to the spot. Don't do that. It is time to rejoice in what God is doing in the lives of other people and enter into that joy. Hallelujah. You see, it's not just the recipient of the party that was joining in, the servant was as well. What had the servant done to deserve a party? Nothing. He just accepted the invitation. Regret to rejoicing. I love the English language, and it had to start with H. What about hubris and humility? That's a great word, isn't it, hubris? It means pride. It means being puffed up, full of yourself. Outside, there's the older brother, hands in his pockets, head down, full of his own pride. But I've been a good son. He's been off with prostitutes, and I've been faithful to my wife. Here I am outside. I've done everything right. I should be in there. He shouldn't be in here. Hubris, pride, puffed up arrogance. We are all susceptible to that. We all have decisions to make in our workplaces, where we study. Are we full of ourselves or celebrating others? You see, this is the choice between hubris and humility. You see, here, everyone is equal because we all receive his grace. Inside the party, everyone is equally invited. We're all VIPs in the festival of forgiveness. We're all VIPs in the gala of his grace, the eternal party. There's no hierarchy. We're all at the top table. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. You see, and therefore, humility is the choice we have to take and the choice we have to make. And the fruits and the abundance of recognizing you ain't all that. You see, this is how it works. It is that there will always be someone better looking than you. I know that might be a shock to you, but certainly a shock for me when I realized that. That even the people who are better looking than you, I mean, with a bit of Photoshop, I could help you out a bit, but there's always going to be someone more talented than you. There'll always be someone more talented than you. There'll always be someone more gifted than you. There'll always be someone who God gave more gifts to than he gave to you. So what? Do we humbly rejoice in what God has given them, or do we stand there outside the party? This is a very real choice we have to make. Are we comparing ourselves to other people all the time so much so there's no joy in us? Oh, but they've got this, but they've got that. Oh, they can play 10 instruments. Oh, they're just brilliant. They're so good. Everything they seem to do seems to be good, and it seems to be blessed. And here I am with me, myself, and my old little thing, and they've got that. They've got a family. I don't have a family. They've got this. I don't have that. They've got a car. I can't even drive. Whatever it is, we're always going to have other people, even in the church, that have more than we do. Yes? So our decision to make is, will we celebrate the grace of God in their lives, their answered prayers? That's what Jesus is talking to, because he believes the Pharisees and the religious leaders should know better, but they're outside the party, standing and pointing the finger. A final one here. It's the difference between isolation and integration. Even the servants are partying and the older brother's outside the door, not going in. I'm all right on my own. I'd rather party with myself, me, myself, and I. Now, the thing is, his dad's in the party. It's tragic, this parable. It ends on a knife edge. Will the older brother ever go in? Or will he stand there, isolated, on his own? Or will he be integrated into the whole of the estate that are enjoying the party? You see, this is a choice we have to make as well, particularly in relationship to the wider church and perhaps even to this church. Would we rather isolate and then point the finger, or why don't we just jump in? Why don't we just come in where we're invited to the integration of people from every tribe and tongue and nation into the party of his grace? Why would we want to stay outside? The reason is because it's tidier, it's neater, it's more comfortable, where we're the king, if you like. We're the center of attention. You know what it's like. Kids can, we're all guilty of kind of moaning and grumping and sulking. And sulking is often about getting attention, isn't it? Yes. Oh, everyone's attention. Oh, I hope they're okay. That isolation is selfish and full of evil, because when you're on your own, you can really be on your own, and that's not how God intended it. God intended for all of us to be integrated into the celebration, the feast of his forgiveness and his grace, and to be part of an eternal party that none of us deserves to be in. How wonderful. The church of Jesus Christ is this party. So don't isolate yourself. Come in. And what does that mean? Does that mean getting to know some people I don't like? Yes. Well, you're not all that either. Get to know some other people. Does it mean showing an interest in other people's lives, even if they say the same thing at community group every single week? Hello? I've been there. Yes, it does. Does it mean loving them anyway when they make a mistake? Yes, it does. Does it mean celebrating when they get their answer to prayer and you don't get yours? Yes, it does. But in that party, there's the ultimate integration that will never end. And there is no organization in the universe like the church, because membership of this involves a celebration of a free gift of grace, and no one will ever ask you to leave the party. Now, this is the challenge. Firstly, if you are here today and you are not a follower of Christ, and you know the difference, you'll know this. You'll know whether you have been standing outside the door and you've been looking in. Those people, they seem to be so joyful. They seem to be so happy. They seem to have something I don't. Let me just put this. They do. They have tasted of the grace of Jesus Christ. They do. Not because of them. They've just gone in. And so there's an invitation today for you to enter in. Come on in. It's free. The sign of the cross is on this door. And it's because of Jesus that we're able to enter in. If you haven't done that, make today that day. And I'm going to invite you, later on we're going to sing some songs, we're going to stand and pray. I'm going to invite you. It might be a bold step, but hey, the benefits are worth it, right? Then as we pray, why don't you come and stand and carefully, don't fall off the platform, will you? Come and walk through the door. And if you do, I'd gladly pray with you, and others on our leadership team would gladly pray with you. But secondly, I want to say, if you're here today, and like probably most of us here, you've been walking with the Lord for a while, but you recognize the signs of coldness and hardness in your own heart, let's deal with that today, okay? Let's not hear the word of the Lord and say, oh, that was nice, something about a door, and then go and have lunch. How about we do some business with the Lord? And that business is not comfortable. This is not comfortable, but the benefits are amazing. If we would be willing to step into joy and into celebration and rejoicing, into integration, into a family of grace, what we could experience on this side of the door, in some areas of our lives, you see, we're tempted to go into isolation, and we've tasted of this, but we're only human, and sometimes we find ourselves standing outside. I want to say, come on in and leave all the stuff at the door. The unforgiveness, leave it at the door. And know that God is not going to judge you. He's going to hand you an aperitif. He's going to show you where the buffet table is and give you a party popper and say, come on, join in the party. And as we forgive, you see, let me just one final thought on forgiveness. It just occurs to me in this moment. What a shame. When God has forgiven someone else for what they did to us, for us to not celebrate that. Think about this. Someone wrongs us. God forgives them. They're in the party. Someone wrongs us. We haven't forgiven them. They're in the party. And we're outside. The Lord's Prayer says, Father, forgive my sins as I forgive those of other. You see, it's in forgiving others that we enjoy the forgiveness we've really received. You see how that works? If someone's wronged you, today can be a day where you forgive them. Because you know what? They may well be in the party already. Let's not stay outside. Thank you, Lord. I have a dream that we in Wellspring Church will be different. Not better, just different, and hopefully we'll all be growing better. And that is this: imagine being in a church where everyone celebrates everyone else's successes. Imagine being in a church where not only have we given God authority and permission for him to be Lord of our lives personally, but also we love it when he does great things in other people's lives, whatever they've done in the past. I believe we are that, but I believe there's layers to this where we can truly celebrate who other people are. That's the church I want to be in, where I just love who you are in God. Different from me, yes, but I love who you are and I love what I see Jesus doing in your life. Come on in. So this is what we're going to do. The band are going to join Ben on the stage and we're going to lead through a couple of songs of praise and worship. And as we do this, I'm going to make you an invitation. What matters most is what happens in here, okay? That's what happens between you and the Lord. This is very personal. But perhaps you might find it helpful, and no one's going to ask you any questions or embarrass you. You might actually find it helpful to get out of your chair. We'll stand and sing in a moment. To get out of your chair and actually to go and walk through the door. If you want to do that, feel free. And I'll be waiting the other side and be glad to just pray God's blessing on you that you might enjoy the fullness of being in the party of grace. Because it's where you belong. It's where you belong. So let's let it go. Whatever it is, you know what it is. Let's let it go. And if this isn't particularly speaking to you today, it's not your day to hear from the Lord, as in you kind of got pretty much these things sorted out, then great. Would you pray for the people around you who are dealing with some stuff? Let's do this together. And let's invite the Holy Spirit to have his way. So if you're able physically to stand, let's stand. And let's make a decision to let go and to enter in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we welcome you. We thank you for your grace and your kindness. You're such a good God. You're amazing, Lord, and we love you. And we simply want to pray, Lord, now you'd hear the prayers of our hearts. Pray that you'd heal the hardness of our hearts. Pray that you'd soften us, Lord. You'd forgive us as we seek to forgive others, Lord. As we choose to forgive others, Lord, may we step into the fullness of that forgiveness. May we build our lives on you. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to this recording. We hope it's encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've been aware of the voice of God and the presence of Jesus with you wherever you've been listening to this recording. Hey, if you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life and how he's speaking to you that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. Just email admin@wellspring-church.org. Do get in touch. We can't wait to hear from you. And may God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.